ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley on an absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, sunny day in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We have a phenomenal show. We're talking a workers' compensation special. Why do I say it's a beautiful day in the Delaware Valley? Well, we have great guests. Marla Joseph, workers' compensation attorney. How are you, Marla?
Great. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Dr. Bruce Groschinger, the sports doctor, who not only does injured workers and personal injury, but he also is the post game show with the Eagles. How you doing, Doc?
Doing great. Great to be here. Great to see Ms. Joseph here today.
And here's the thing. I say it's beautiful, and of course, we have Drew Walker who put the show together. So we appreciate it, Drew. Now, a couple things. We're going to have some great content, but everybody knows the union community is a sports community. And I say it's beautiful and sunny because of our guests and because of the Eagles' absolute drubbing of the Giants yesterday. Now, we're going to let Marla Joseph explain all the intricacies of the Eagles' defense. I'm just kidding, Marla. But we are going to ask the doc, because you do the injuries at the end of the day. How's Lane Johnson, doc?
Lane is fine. He has an abdominal strain. He's getting an MRI today. If the MRI doesn't show any longitudinal contusions, that is, no bruising, he'll just receive hot, cold, and PT, and he should be good to go to Soldier Field, the frozen tundra, against the Chicago Bears.
You know, I wouldn't mind.
1 p.m. next week.
And I wouldn't mind. I would not mind if Lane took off next Sunday, because he has to be ready.
Got to be ready for those Cowboys, because the ESPN is saying the Cowboys are the number one team. Even though they're two games behind in the standings, this will be a clash of titans in 2 weeks at AT&T Stadium.
On Christmas Eve. And let me just say something else. You know, Dallas almost lost yesterday to Houston. They should have lost.
They should have lost. You know, if that quarterback could have found two more yards to the end zone, it would be, turn out the lights, the party's over.
Yeah, absolutely. And I you know, so it's great to have you in the broadcast with Marla Joseph. Marla, if you would, and you're no stranger to the broadcast, but we have a union community that is constantly, you know, so we got great apprentice programs, okay? We have, and we talk about them all the time. We just did an apprentice program show a couple weeks ago on our labor show. But we like to educate everybody as they come in. I just paid my union dues, by the way, when I came over here right before. Having said that,
I noticed you were a little light on the wallet coming in.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got a call from the secretary at the Ironworkers, and she said, "You got your credit card ready?" And I'm like, "What?" And I knew what she meant, and I did have it there. So, but having said that, we want to educate all of our union workers all the time on protecting them on the job and all those things. And my dad always used to say, one hand for the company, one hand for yourself, one hand for the company, right? But sometimes, especially when you look at those high-rise buildings there out the window here at WWDB, not everything goes right all the time. And the educating of individuals, we don't want them to get injured twice, once on the job and obviously once by that sometimes and often not most friendly workers' compensation provider. So we want you to be educated. And so, Marla, if you will, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you for not making this a sports show, because I inherited my dad's background in law, but not in sports knowledge.
So. Well, I'll tell you why we didn't, because we know you're smart, and there's no way me, Bruce, and Drew are going to sit here and be made a fool of on the air.
Okay. With her knowledge, she's going to dunk in our faces. So we're going to stay far away from her area of expertise, which is sports.
Drop in the mic. But go ahead, Mike.
Great, thanks. So I am a workers' compensation lawyer, and I've been practicing about 27 years, 16 of which I've had my own firm. And I'm located in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. But I travel all up and down the turnpike, basically anywhere in Pennsylvania. If someone's injured, I can help them. I come, as I said, from a family of lawyers. My brother's an employment lawyer. My dad had a solo practice, a partnership, beginning out at Broad and Nedro Streets.
Okay.
In the 60s. And Yeah.
What type of law did your dad practice?
He was a neighborhood law office.
Oh, yeah.
They actually had it designated by the Philadelphia Bar Association, and so he did a little bit of everything, definitely focused on personal injury. This was before limited tort, so...
Those were the good old days.
Those were the good old days, for sure, yeah.
Now, you know, I do want to point out also, Marla, that, you know, Marla was honored as one of our Who's Who in Philly Labor honorees as a part of our Philly Labor Injured Workers Advocacy Initiative, which provides programs and advocates on behalf of injured workers. Our Who's Who initiative recognized top injury professionals throughout the Philadelphia region in the area of injury law. So I wanted to remind you were honored at City Hall a couple years ago.
It was a great honor. I brought my family with me.
I met your mother, yes, I think.
It was wonderful. Yep, my mom, my son came out. My sister came out.
That's right.
It was a great day. And I'm former chair of the Pennsylvania Bar Workers' Comp section, and I'm also on the Kids Chance of PA board, which I can tell you a little bit about later, but that's definitely one of my passions.
Absolutely. And we elaborate now, because I'm interested.
Sure. So our organization, we just celebrated our 25th anniversary with this huge gala. I had started back in 2018 a silent auction. I started it by driving everything in my car to the event, and now we made enough money to buy a luxury car. So we made a lot of money for the kids. So what we do, if a student has a parent that either died or was catastrophically injured in a Pennsylvania work accident, they are eligible for this scholarship.
Wow.
And one of my students, Michaela Graff, I met her when she was in high school. She just graduated Drexel with honors, and she's working part-time for me right now.
That's awesome.
So isn't that great?
It's just so great. It's really, I mean, I did it out of a passion, but it's become really part of my practice, just getting the word out, because a lot of lawyers aren't getting that out. Let me interrupt and say, you have
my number, you have my address.
Yeah.
I want to give, my practice wants to give money to this cause. If you ever do events,
okay,
I'd like to be there. Because I do a lot with the NFL alumni, with our distressed neighborhoods, with Marlon Vitarella, and I love giving to the kids. And my son, who works with me, I'm trying to show him how important charity is. So please reach out
to
me for a donation periodically.
I will.
If you need us to lend any, you know, again, we have different sponsorships on my show. I'm proud to be on Joe's Labor Show. But when I hear charity, my ears go up, and allow us to contribute, please. It's a beautiful cause.
And on my side,
I will
side,
hit you up for sure.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. And I am happy to drive that new car anytime. I would love. Is that good? Is that no?
The only thing for sure, when he pulls up to the show, we won't recognize that it's Joe.
But I do drive in style. I actually was at an event last night in. As long as it's not a Monday night game and I'm driving at night, because I'm horrible. I drove to AC last night and back. And those days are over, man.
You should have stopped by at the Ocean. Because Krause and me and Seth, we left there. You probably were there later. We left around 6. We did a 2-hour show. But if you're ever around AC, stop by. We got some good food there in the green room.
Well, I can tell you this. It was actually a charitable endeavor. And it was for Lucy the Elephant in Margate, right?
I must say, that's a great show. I actually have a place in Margate. I don't know if you know that. I'm in the beach house in Margate. So happen to love that town.
What's great?
There's a few people like us, as we say, a landsman, a few descendants of Abraham. they settled first in Israel, then they came to Margate.
But what I do want to say to you is this, and I want to shout out to everybody. Come summertime, Dr. Bruce's door is always open to everybody at a party. You know where the party's. I'm joking, Doc.
Yeah, of course. Just bring it in. Just make sure you bring.
I'm going over to make sure you bring a lot of dirt and tobacco
products, and just feel free. There's always beer in the fridge.
Well, here's the thing. Marla, I don't know if you know this, but I was in the nightclub business for a long time.
I did not know that.
Yes, a long time. And I've had one. Not because I don't. I got an issue, but because I'm just not a big drinker. I just never have been. But I can always get if this. I'm just telling you, because I sold my place in 2015, and I can tell you this, I would be happy to supply the DJ and the security and all those things, Doc. We could.
And this
turn
is
that
a
place
two bedroom. This is a two bedroom efficiency, about half the size of the studio. It would be perfect for a big party.
Occupancy 500.
So we brought him on the show to talk about medicine. He's now opening up his pockets to charities, his home down the shore.
Opened up a nightclub.
What's next?
I don't know. I'm being very magnanimous today. That's all I can
Although
say.
Although after the show, he's going to be like, don't do that again. I'm just kidding, Doc. But anyway, let's do this. Let's talk a little. I do want to say, guest star last night at the event was Dean Martin's daughter. She's 74 now, but man, was talk about really cool to have somebody from a legacy from the Rat Pack.
That's tremendous.
And she had pictures.
Does she sing or is she?
Oh yeah,
just,
no, she put a great show on. It was great. And
that's tremendous.
A lot of fun, and I got good pictures. Well, I'll show you after the show, but it was worth it. But what I was saying is, you know, if I'm going to be driving, the car has to be early during the day. I can't drive at night. I might have blind. I was driving down and back, and I'm like, I told
it's
my
tough.
Wife.
That ride back, they always say, stay alive, because that's the most boring ride back from AC. You got to stay alive. You got to drink coffee or you got to do something.
Well, they don't have any lights on the AC
there's nothing.
Expressway.
It's boring. It's just like being in a sensory deprivation chamber, especially late at night. Not that much fun.
Exactly. So anyway, Marla, you know, we talked about your practice. I want to talk workers' comp. Any of our labor union members, especially young guys who are out there. Everybody wants to suck it up and take it like a man or a woman. And you know, like you get injured. I don't want to start. I've got stories, countless stories around the clock. Okay, about individuals. And scenarios. I'm gonna throw one at you.
Sure.
And I want you to tell me what you think. And then get a call from, and I'm not ashamed, an iron worker years ago. I didn't even know him. It was called our injured workers program. And we'll take a look at this. This is exactly how a lot of our union members, they want to suck it up. But he calls me up and he says, listen, I hurt my back on the job. Okay. Iron workers, we work out of the union hall. Okay, which means we have 500 signatory contractors, which means we're not like SEPTA workers who are out of TW 234. If they get injured on a job, they only have one employer. So this guy calls me up and he says, I injured myself on a job. I'm not even on the job anymore. The job, the job's over. It was a 5-day job. I don't want to make waves.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because one of the biggest issues with whether it's a union worker or someone that just has a career,
right,
they don't want to notify the employer because they fear there's going to be repercussions, they're not going to be looked at as a team player, and they end up doing damage to themselves and to their cases. Because if you don't put your employer on notice right away, then you could potentially create problems. And I think that the concern is that, hey, I'll just work through it. But the longer you work through it and you don't get the medical attention you deserve, you want to be in to see a doctor, even if it's just protectively.
Well, it's interesting because he called his union hall. They sent him to me just to give – we're advocates, okay? So we ended up – so he's talking to me on the phone. He says, this is to the extreme. A lot of people are afraid to lose their jobs and all those things. And we know it's an at-will state, Pennsylvania. So a lot of them are legitimate. We have, now let me read through what I said, 500 signatory contractors. He didn't even work for that contractor anymore. He's going to go to the hall getting another job.
Right.
But he calls and says, listen, I don't want to make waves.
Well, because he's probably afraid about having a certain reputation and just being a tough guy.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean.
I said, are you really? Yeah. I mean, tell me how hurt you are. He goes, you know, I'm in pain. I said, so this is what he wanted to do. Because he felt like he was, he like you just said, all those things. He said, look, I'm just going to lie and say I did it at home. Not because he's a bad guy.
I have had that happen more times than you would think, where they actually like make a point of going to the ER and saying, I fell down the steps at home.
And they destroy their case.
Ruin
in
their
one
case.
Second, they ruin their case, and it's not something we could fix at that point.
And what he didn't realize, he thought he was actually like, you know, in somebody's mind who's thinks they're not causing waves and doesn't want to make waves and they're going to take the easy way, did not realize that that's fraud, number one, against your other insurance company, because you're going to call them and tell them you fell. And I said to him, I said, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, but I can, we have a great network of lawyers and doctors. And so I said to him, I said, look, I'm not, you know, a professional in that, in the area. I'm just an advocate. But what happens? There's one little teeny detail here, brother. What happens if this injury turns out to be a catastrophic injury? Now you're out of work. You've lied. It's a fraudulent situation, all those things. And now you may, now, if and he was in pain. And he said, because that's why he called the hall. And he said, well, I said, what are you going to do if you need surgery? You will not have a chance to be compensated. You got injured on the job. If let's take it the whole way. That was even if the other insurance company bought it. I said, listen, I don't suggest you lie about anything. And that he wasn't even focusing on that. He was focusing on the fact that he was going to leave. You know, he didn't want to start waves one, but he didn't realize the can of worms he was opening, not only with fraud, but also with his, and he was a good guy. He didn't mean anything by it, but he needed to be educated. And he was like, man, I didn't think of that.
Well, cases are often won or lost in the first 21 days, depending on how you report it, what you do for medical attention. And there's two other issues. So one is, so he's going to go to a second employer, and then he's going to start to have problems. And then the first employer is going to pin it on the second. The second's going to pin it on the first. Yeah. It's going to create a maze of issues. But then I'm going to defer to Dr. Grossinger, but when you have a back injury, you might not feel it the first couple days. And then when it starts to get more serious, if you haven't reported it, it could be an issue.
Just to dovetail on Ms. Joseph's and Marla's situation, somebody could rupture, they could have a back injury. And if we imagine the disc of the back is a jelly donut, it's got a hard outer covering called the annulus fibrosis. Inner, it's like a gel. It's like toothpaste. So imagine somebody ruptures the outer covering. There's nothing to prevent the toothpaste from getting squirted out of the tube. So over time, we see often where they may feel a pop in their back. They go home and ice it. They feel okay. But over the next few days or weeks, it becomes severe. It starts radiating down one or both legs. And that's the importance of reporting this early and understanding it. A lot of times they'll go to an ER. The two worst enemies of the claimant are the emergency room and the family doctor. And why is that? So you go to your family doctor. You've been injured a month ago, and they say, how you doing? Well, I've got a cold. I have a cold, a little sore throat. Family doctor's got 50 people in the waiting room. They get paid about $2 to do this. Okay? They come in. And they say, I got a sore throat. They give you a little amoxicillin, and we'll see in a month. But this is a month after the work accident. You go to the emergency room. Let's say they fall out of a crane. They might have a bruised wrist. They might have a brain injury and a low back injury. And the easiest thing is just to treat the bruised wrist. And at the emergency room, it's all template. It's all EMR. So if you're an emergency doctor, you hit one button, template. It's like that that commercial where they
template, right?
Where the lady goes, I forget what the word is. She just goes, yeah, you know, like no, no, no. So it's just like they hit that button. And it's like template.
Next.
Yeah, right. Remember that lady who's like going into the house and she's, you know,
Drew, do you remember?
Aunt Madge. I wish Drew. I could remember it. But there's one punchline she just says over and over, and they replay it around the holidays.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. She goes, oh, terminated. Remember that one? Terminated. And like Aunt Madge, and then she comes back the next year, she's knocking on the door, and she's used to looking at the refrigerator and salt.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait.
What is it? What does she say?
Oh, yeah.
Expired. Now that's
expired.
It. Expired.
That's right.
Expired.
That's great.
So that's it. Sorry. I had to think the converse. So she goes, and it's great. She goes, expired.
I remember she
expired.
And then she
expired.
Goes, the other aunts, they're all three aunts, and one aunt goes, I guess, did you accept my friend request? And he goes, the guy goes, I'm just going to have to check that out. You know, Aunt Beth or whatever her name
remember
was.
That? And then she comes next year and knocks on the door and nobody answers because she opens up the refrigerator and goes, expired. Well, that's exactly, believe it or not, that's what the emergency room people do. They basically come in, they treat the easiest thing. The goal is basically get him out quick and don't kill him. So they come in, they could have fallen off a scaffold, have a brain injury. Their brains are hanging out of their
ear. They're not equipped to
do it. They're back. And you know what? They have a wrist strain. So they go in the ER and it says impression wrist strain. So what happens 2-3 months later when Ms. Joseph is deposing Dr. Grossinger? We've got to go up against that. And then they bring in a family doctor. Well, you had a cold and sore throat. Well, didn't you talk about your low back and the brain injury where you had the brain leaking out of your left ear? And of course not, because they went in, they had a cold and sore throat. So that's why we need an expert like Marla Joseph. And for all you people out there, Marla Joseph, she is a very loving, nurturing person. You'll get what we call the Joseph hammock. So you're just laying there on the beach, the sun's beating down on you, and she said, I'll take care of everything. And that's what she does, from soup to nuts. But the key is to call. We'll give you the number for Ms. Joseph. When you're out there, in all you union people, this is a wonderful representative, president of Workers' Comp Bar, for God's sakes. You
know, and what I want to say is this. It's such a
In 2018, just to be clear.
There is no sunset clause for
That's
greatness.
True.
That's a good point. I myself.
Like that. My mama taught me that. My mama said.
Yeah, and I led the, just so you know, since there's no sunset clause, I was the leading hitter in the Catholic League. In 1981.
And a star running back as well.
In 1981.
And the best running back that ever put on cleats and pads.
Exactly. Exactly. In a Southern Division at Catholic League 1981.
Let's not get hung up on details.
Exactly. But but having said that, and the reason, what's interesting about the point you make, and I bring this up a lot because it's first-hand knowledge, but we got in an accident, me and my wife, when we were kids. Dude hit us from behind. We were at Frankfurt Avenue and Princeton making a left, and we were in the left-hand lane. The guy behind, the whole oncoming traffic, I mean, the traffic next to us went straight when the green light went. Dude hit us right in the back. She felt fine. I mean, let me tell you something. She pinched the nerve all year long until it exploded on New Year's Day. I say that, and the reason I say that is because seeming a catastrophic injury, you often cannot tell the day it happens. Now, there are some that you can. Okay, and in our line of business, unbelievably, you know, a lot of times it's, God forbid, something really obvious happens, but that guy, and that was my point to that guy, okay? And what happened, and so, Marlo, what happens? Because I don't think he reported that injury to he did not report that injury to the employer. You mentioned that the first 21 days, how long do you have
sure.
to report an injury?
So, to be paid from day one, assuming you meet the waiting period, because there's a 7-day waiting period, but to be paid from day one, you have to report in 21 days. You can report within 120 days, but then anything after the 21st day, you're not going to be paid till the date of notice. So you're basically giving up some time of wage loss checks if you don't report. There's one other little exception called the discovery rule. I once had a guy with a hand injury. He didn't understand that it was work-related until about 6 months after the injury, and that was still considered timely because when he learned through his doctor that it was work-related, he reported it. But you don't want to be falling into these weird exceptions. I mean, basically, the day you're hurt, you should report it to the employer, and also you should call a lawyer, whether it's me or somebody else, because it doesn't cost you anything, and there's going to be so many little things you're not thinking about, and defense lawyers love to pick apart all the early records and say, well, you only told your employer that your back hurt. When did the neck come on? Oh, it didn't come on till 10 days later because that's the first day we see it in a medical record when maybe it was hurting, but you just were overwhelmed and not thinking.
But that and that worker that wants to suck it up for the boss and wants to, you know, if he gets injured on a weekend and not do anything till Monday because they're like, you know what? I know, imagine if they understood that. Workers' compensation, and I say this to the listeners, by the way, is such a complicated area that the lawyers themselves have certifications, okay? It's one of the only areas of law where that you're a certified workers' compensation.
Well, I am, but many aren't. So you
many are not, so that's the problem. Just like right. Many doctors are not board certified.
Right.
Marla Joseph, the law office of Marla Joseph, this lady does nothing but that. Unfortunately, because workers' comp is a fairly lucrative business, you might have a guy who does real estate title closings, but he gets a comp, he's going to look at you, just like in the operating
like
room
he
table,
knows what he's doing.
Like a surgeon, he's doing open heart surgery, goes, he's going to be like Howie Mandel, it's my first day on the job.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and I get a lot of referrals, I've been fortunate, from lawyers, probably a third of my practice from other lawyers. And personal injury lawyers, we have very similar practices in terms of treating
injuries
and,
right.
and understanding medical issues. But a lot of my buddies send me cases after they haven't done certain things because they just didn't think it was a big deal.
Right.
And they wait until there's an issue, and then we're like running up against a statute or some kind of requirement where something might not have been done. So you do want to make sure that you're getting someone who specializes.
Exactly. And having said that, on that man or woman who gets injured on a Friday wants to wait because they don't want to make waves. And they want to wait till Monday. You mentioned you should, in order to collect from day one, report in the first 21 days. However, and then you have 120 days to report if you don't have that one situation. Okay. However, what happens if you don't report all? If you're a hero, they don't bring you in for a trophy presentation on Monday because you sucked it up on Friday over the weekend. When you come back in, you're hurting worse. Sometimes that can work against you.
In fact, Craig, it could definitely work against you. The two points I want to make: one is, if you tough it out for a month and you're hurting, when it goes in front of a judge, and certain judges we won't name, the fact that you were able to tech, even if you were sitting there in a ball in a fetal position and you normally are a ditch digger or a Boeing sheet metal assembler, even if that's the extent of your work, on paper it's going to look like you worked full duty for a month. That in itself can be a disqualifier for workers' comp.
So you don't
because if you're really hurt, why did you stay at Boeing? Why did you keep hanging off that building when all you did was you're very stoic? It should be a feather in your cap,
right?
But it's often not
exactly
viewed as such in the legal parlance.
Exactly,
that's my point. Like, yeah, in other words, they don't honor them, give them a trophy, and say, "Bob."
No, it's funny. I just settled a case where my client hurt himself on a Friday and didn't tell anybody.
Sure.
And they had a Christmas party, and it was required to go. They were giving out awards. He went. He was feeling horrible.
That's
when he
terrible.
Left
early. Then he's in a Christmas picture smiling.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And doesn't social media kill you?
Oh, yes.
I've had people that have severe injuries, especially with TikTok. Teenage girl with a severe neck injury. Her arm couldn't even lift her arm, but she was there wearing like a sequined, she thought she was Janet Jackson, and she was there like bopping to the music, and this would have been a six-figure case.
Hopefully there weren't slips.
But the fact that there weren't any wardrobe malfunctions,
exactly,
thank God. But the fact is, they showed this in court to a jury of her peers, and it was disqualified. D verdict, defense verdict.
Yeah,
I guess my point is this: there's all these rules with the times, 21 days to 120. You don't report it right away. That, like you mentioned, Marla, the defense will look to pick anything apart
exactly
in those situations.
Yes,
and so what's important here is this: calling to get an attorney and to get education. And the reason I say that right away is a lot of people think, "Oh, I'm not litigious." Guess what? It's a very complicated area of the law. The protocols for the defense and the insurance companies start immediately. They don't give awards out for not reporting it right away. And if you don't have the information, it can be so complicated that you could find yourself tied up in a pretzel. You don't even know it. That's why it's important to call Amara Joseph. And having said this, though,
should I say my phone number?
Yes, please.
215-884-6664, or you can go on my website, which is workcomppa2ps.com.
What a great domain. Man, oh man, that's a great domain. Having said that, but what does it cost to get that consultation?
Nothing. And it only is going to cost you if you have to be in court anyway. So I have some clients, I might represent them for a year, and I'm monitoring everything because they're getting paid. But that way, when we're ready to jump into court, we've got everything lined up. We have a good medical team set up. Once you go to court, either to get benefits or you're protecting them because they're trying to stop them, you need a lawyer anyway, unless you know how to cross-examine witnesses and write briefs. So why not get the free lawyer all that time before so that you have your case set up properly in the right medical team?
I want
Absolutely.
To make one more point.
Yes.
There are a lot of times where you have a third-party case, and this happens. And the point is you have to use Marla Joseph as a quarterback. So once the hardest thing to do is get the workers' comp in place. Let's say you're hit by a third party. You know
driving
the grand bargain.
You're
driving for a living. The grand bargain is you can't sue your employer. But if somebody hits you, there is a separate action called a third party. Ms. Joseph can see you put everything in place, and it doesn't preclude you from seeing a third party. And Marla has different tentacles in place, or she could put you in touch with a third party attorney. And I think people don't realize that.
Well, that's part of the education.
We have a case, actually. It's funny. I haven't seen Dr. Gorsinger in person for a while, and he walked in. I have a case right now where there's an employment issue where there's a concern about being terminated. There's a workers' comp issue, and the injury happened. This woman was hit 2 days, two accidents in the same day.
Two accidents in the same day. And we have to discriminate.
It's like OJ. She has a whole team of lawyers. So my brother's the
employment lawyer. Too many lawyers.
Lawyer.
You know what they say about too many cooks stirring the broth. And it turns out the second, not luckily we're not violating HIPAA because we're not mentioning it. We could be talking about Brutus from Papa. Yeah, Brutus. Brutus's first accident wasn't bad because it was minimal damage. Brutus went to the second, drove to the second place, spent an hour on site, then had the money shot, so to speak, which was this, not to use a bad pun, but who are we now? Deshaun Massage Watson? No, we don't want to say that. But in any event, the second accident was terrible and disabling. Brutus had a brain injury and a neck injury. And unfortunately now, this person who's very smart and has a PhD is basically...
Better not give any more information. He's getting a little too specific.
Get a little too close. No, not without mentioning that. I'll just say that somebody...
It could be a PhD in anything.
PhD in herbology or something, in cannabinoids. So the fact is, a lot of people who might be very smart, well-trained, when it comes to being logical, these laws don't make any sense.
Right.
And one other point I wanted to mention, a lot of times, if you report it, they have 90 days to ruin your case, not to be cynical. And certainly the medical office of Dr. Bruce Grossinger, we will see anybody the first day, first month, because number one, we're always going to get paid because there is no panel that has a neurologist on the panel. And because I do medical orthopedics, let's say hypothetically, we get a call from Allentown, PA. I see them. I pretty much set the table. I take a detailed history. I spend an hour with them. I order MRIs. I send them up to Dr. Garabalo, and I'm happy to say that. He's in Allentown. He's not here, but he's part of our network. I send them to him. They don't even they could be 2 hours away from me, but the key thing is the doctor sees them, writes a report, sends it to Ms. Joseph, and I'm always going to get paid. Well, there are a lot of doctors who are just afraid of not getting paid, and that's why they make the law, because the insurance companies are in the pocket of the legislators. Hate to be cynical, that's the truth.
No, that's true, because it used to be when I first started practicing, it was only 30 days you had to see the employer's panel provider. Now it's 90 due to legislative changes. So, yeah.
Now, having said, and Doc, we're going to get into your practice after the break, but in the medical, further in the medical, but we're talking about somebody gets injured and, get the information, get the education, but also, like you said, Marla, your brother's an employment attorney. Now, what's important about that? You're taking a big approach to this from 1,000 feet, okay? Whether it's a third party case or whether it's if there's an employment,
And by the way, just as an aside, this person has a PhD. Obviously, it has nothing to do with the law, but this very bright person thought, I need to speak to an employment lawyer. They didn't realize they needed to speak to a workers' comp lawyer.
Right.
And then sometimes the employment lawyer might not even know, well, we also need a personal injury lawyer. I mean, it's complicated.
Right.
There's a lot of facets to it.
Exactly. But it's amazing. How often do employment lawyers get involved in work comp cases? And I say that because let's look at somebody who works for one of the SEPTA unions. They have one employer. So an iron worker, my point from earlier today was that guy wasn't even worried about getting fired. He could have went to once you're in the union, work for 1,000 employers. But if you're working for some of these other companies, if you're a union worker, and it's only one employer, they're a little nervous. And it's an at-will state. Even though legally speaking, they're not supposed to be able to fire you just because you got injured on a job. How often do Bruce, you mentioned third party cases. I know that happens, and people don't even know about their work comp, let alone that. But the other part is, how often does an employment situation get involved in a work comp?
Yeah. So a lot of times, my brother and I will, and he has his own practice, but we just work closely together. His name's Andrew Abramson. We don't know which way it's going to go.
Did you say Andrew?
Andrew
Hold
Abramson.
On. I don't like that name. I'm joking. That's Drew.
Drew's real name, so we're going to take a shot at him.
Sorry, buddy.
He does have a microphone. He can't defend himself here.
He kind of can.
So you were saying this. So in an employment at will state, an employer does have a right to terminate people at will, but there's a lot of exceptions. So one of them, there's actually a case on point. You cannot be terminated for filing a workers' comp claim. So right then and there, if you're fired just because of that, that's a potential claim.
They usually don't tell you that's why they did it, though, right?
They come up with the fabricated reason often. But then the second issue is where my brother usually comes into play is if you want to go back to work and only need slight accommodations and the employer doesn't want to give them to you, whereas I might have a situation where they can't work at all. So sometimes we don't know which way it's going to go. Like, we don't know if it's going to be a situation where they need to go out and go on workers' comp, or they want to go back and the employer's not letting them back. So there's a lot of overlap and there's issues with the ADA, lots of different laws. So we kind of monitor to see which way it's going to go sometimes.
Well, it isn't. It's totally, you know, it's confusing to people. And that's why it's so important to get educated, because you may not know you have a catastrophic injury. And by the way, you may be fortunate, and we hope you are, where, you know, 2 to 3 weeks happens and you're fine, you go back to work, you don't have to deal with all that stuff. But that the point of the matter is you want to get the most important, the information, all the information you can at the point of injury. You want to give notice, like Marla said. You want to get to a good doctor like Dr. Grossinger, somebody who's going to document your injuries and make sure that your health is covered. Because how often do individuals get in situations they don't understand the law? They go ask. This is a great scenario. Go ask the boss, what should I do? It's like going into the lion's den and say, listen, should I hang out with you for a minute? He doesn't. And by the way, he works for the employer. Even if he's a union guy, he may just be following his own protocol, but he'll send it to the panel doctor. And more often than not, the panel doctor. I've had nightmare stories where guys have said they couldn't lift their arm up. A guy sending them back to work, no diagnostics. What's up with that, Doc?
Yeah, this is a big problem. And let me just say the other side of the coin. If somebody comes into me at any point and they say, I was really hurt, I was paralyzed yesterday, but I feel great. Somebody says, I feel great. You know what I tell them? Go back to work. You don't need a lawyer. And my goal is to get it back to work. So I don't want anybody in the audience, particularly in the defense bar, to basically say that people come in and it's one lock for every key.
No.
Somebody could come in with a concussion, and our goal is to get it back to work safely and to be there as their backstop. And if they have, let's say they have a recurrent problem or they have a second concussion, a second impact, at least we documented it. But Ms. Joseph, she's not there to gild the lily. If somebody's able to go back to work, they go back to work. But the other side of the coin is that when they come in, we've got to make sure we document things. And if somebody's really hurt and you go to the employer, you know, these people think they're suing the employer, but it's the grand bargain that you've spoken about so many times about you can't sue your employer. So it's not an action against your employer. It's an entitlement for you to be covered for your medical care, soup to nuts. And if you are truly disabled, and that's why a doctor like me could say, hey, like I had, you could work 32 hours. You can still work, but 10-pound lifting limit. Let's say you're a typist and you developed carpal tunnel because you're cramped over. I might say you'd have to do a new desk. You got to adjust them. And sometimes you just adjust somebody's workstation and they could do better. But that won't happen unless I get involved as a doctor.
And it's weird because we've seen nightmare situations where individuals have tried to navigate the situation themselves. Just need some education, man. And upfront, so like Marla said, we are in a situation where, you may not know what's going on, but it's a contingency fee. So you call, as an attorney, they literally, we call babysit the case. So as long as the insurance company's not stopping your work comp and she doesn't have to litigate to get it back, there's no problem. But the point of the matter is that you try to navigate just based on a lot of experience in a situation where you try to navigate yourself. They know they're toying with somebody. It's like playing chess with a somebody who doesn't know how to play the game. Next thing you know, you got a problem. And at the end of the day, here's where your real problem is. If you're really hurt, which it's such a misnomer, you know, and I mean, union workers are not interested in being out of work, okay?
Well, and that's the point. I mean, as Dr. Grissinger said, I represented a union nurse recently, and she was getting very poor advice from the insurance company and the employer that was delaying her workers' comp. They were actually paying, using up all her sick time and her union benefits.
Right.
So we had to turn all that around, get her to the right doctors for her surgery. She's back to work now. So sometimes it's about triaging, helping them to get on their way
right.
and get back.
And my point is this, and Doc,
and that's exactly, without mentioning any names or scenarios, I know very smart people whose employers have them eat up their FMLA. So when they come to me, they're an injured worker. They want me to fill out those papers. On one hand, I don't want to say, no, I won't. Or they also want to use all their vacation time. By doing that, they're telling the world that it's not a workers' comp injury. So that's what I got to say. You got to speak to your attorney, because I'm not being belligerent. But if we say FMLA or if I say vacation time, you're telling the world that this is not work-related. I'm actually tightening the noose around their neck, and they don't know any better because they've always worked. They've worked for 10 years, and they automatically think about vacation time. But you're entitled. If you're going to be off work, it's going to be a worker's comp. You have a claim, and you need a lawyer to represent you to be at minimum behind the scenes, at maximum, to be at the forefront of this, because these people get calls. They get interrogated on recorded lines. They don't know what to say. And you get a really smart, manipulative claims rep And you record them?
How are you feeling today?
The case, how you feeling? Fine.
Better
okay,
no,
you're back. You know, when somebody says how you're feeling, isn't it kind of reflex here in America to say fine? If you say, how do you feel? I feel like crap. You know, I'm just curled up like I'm in a cocoon.
Well, and
people don't
know,
say that.
They also hire, the most insurance companies hire what they call a rehabilitation nurse.
Oi, vase man.
And they're contracting with the insurance company. But a lot of the injured workers don't know that. So this nurse follows them to the doctor's appointments, kind of barges their way in sometimes to the appointments.
Calls them up in the middle of the night. And that nurse basically says, I would have said to Dr. Grossinger, what they're going to do is the nurse is going to say, no, I'm sending you to a hatchet man in an IME center in Ballard-Kinwood, who's going to spend 5 minutes with you. Don't see Dr. Grossinger. See Dr. L, who's right there in that building. Won't say his name, but that guy, you could basically have no arms and no legs. He'll send you back to sheet metal assembly work.
What's interesting about that is,
I'm laughing. It's not funny. I mean, I'm just.
It's not funny, but I am funny though.
It's his
delivery.
It's
his humor, right?
Yeah, because it's a shame. I mean, people really do get taken advantage of, and they don't realize it. They're trusting.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Don't go to see doctor, because these rehab nurses know that I have a hypocrite. I have a do no harm, and when I do IMEs, you know, the other day I had a really nice lady. IME company said to me, this lady was hurt. She had a concussion. I'm not going to say she's fine. No, I might not get another referral from that company, but I have a duty. I look upstairs. I have a duty to be honest, but I hate to say there's a whole group of docs out there. They spend 5 minutes. They see 50 in an hour. They're all normal, and they can somehow live with themselves, and it's unconscionable.
Man, I'll tell you, and that's my point. When you're not only dealing with the legal stuff, but also your own injury may not get better. I've seen it happen to guys. I see one of our union agents. Oh no, not agent. Business manager, and thank God he kind of understood when we were talking about putting the advocacy program together. He said, when I was in the field, I stood across from somebody who didn't even look at no diagnostics at all. And literally sent me back to work. His, there are some injuries that just won't heal if you don't get that's really
uncomfortable. I have a client right now. She's about 30 days into the injury when she came to me, and still hasn't had an MRI of her shoulder, and clearly needed probably an MRI arthrogram, but she's just doing therapy. She's in pain. It's getting worse. We have no idea what's going on inside that shoulder. And the panel providers, these employers, panel providers, they kind of are on the side of doing what they call conservative treatment, which in some cases might be good, but a lot of times need to get a look at what's going on before more damage is done.
Here's a perfect example. Is you have somebody who has a torn biceps tendon, okay? It's torn. It's like a window shade, which we don't have here. What happens is Actually, it's probably electronic. It is electronic window shade. Look at this Beasley.
We get maintenance.
We just hit that button. We hit that button. What happens is, when you tear your biceps tendon, it all of a sudden your muscle, you look like Popeye. It's Popeye syndrome. So every day that goes by that your tendon retracts is one less day that you're not going to be able to be returned. So if you wait a month or two with this shoulder pain, this you're just going to have to basically patch this up, and this biceps tendon is going to be. Permanently injured. Is that Siri?
Let me explain to you.
I don't expect you to. You haven't been in practice for 32 years with 5 board certifications. So the at minimum, if somebody comes to me with shoulder pain, we will make sure that they get an MRI. And once you get an MRI, it's opening Pandora's box. You find out if it's normal, it's normal. But you still may have a problem, like one of the Eagles players we talked about yesterday, who has a normal MRI, but they still have a rotator cuff tendonitis. They still are going to be out for another 2 weeks.
Now, Margaret, when somebody calls the office, and they, you know, obviously they get educated. What can they expect, obviously, from yourself and the firm when they retain
you? Sure. So first of all, they will never get a voicemail. I have a system set up where if my assistant doesn't pick up on the fourth ring, it goes into an intake, basically, where they're going to get a live person. And if it's urgent, they text me. So we pride ourselves on communication. We're not one of these bigger shops where you kind of just get delegated. Usually you can get me within 24 hours, if not within 10 minutes, just depending on if I'm in court or in a deposition, you know, what's happening. So they're going to get personalized service. Another reason why I think people come to me, first of all, there's not as many women on the injured worker side. There's also, I have a psychology background because this takes over someone's life. So yeah. I'm not going to just be focusing on legal issues, but the whole person.
And setting up, because there's ebbs and flows here with these types of cases.
Yeah.
And so talk about that, because people can be their own worst enemy.
Well, I also try to get to know my clients well and spend a lot of time in that first meeting, because it becomes a family situation. Because it's income that's not coming into the household. It can impact the marriage. It can impact the children. And so I always want to be, when we're making decisions about things, make sure that it's not a whisper down the lane. I make sure to involve the people that are important in their lives when we're making decisions.
Now, having said that, the preparation process in regards to the ebbs and flows, by the way, that normally happens at the end of the show. The photos.
I hope that's not distracting you, Doc.
I just was looking down, smiling. But what I was going to say is that communications. Talk about the communication process, because sometimes the workers' comp provider, all of a sudden, that the worker is already stressed out and hurt and trying to rehab, and next thing you know, they don't get a check. Talk about prep. You know, when I say ebbs and flows, I'm talking about sometimes the games that these people encounter. That you know, you mentioned having a psychology degree. Guess what? You need to have one, because people can become a mess, and setting them up for success through the process. How important is that communication?
Yeah, I mean, we basically tell our clients there's no stupid questions, because we'd rather them tell us everything, whether it's a late check, a change in their medication, because if we don't know, then we can't help them. And in the beginning of the case, I send them a list of all these things to remember, but it's a lot. So the key is, if you have any questions, you need to be talking to your attorney, because you don't want to make the mistake of making a decision that could really hurt your case.
And so, having said that, there's this kind of a misnomer that says that the people have to go, you know, an injured worker has to go automatically for the first 90 days to a panel provider. And that's not always the case.
In fact,
it's almost unless there's a collective bargaining agreement, you can always get a second opinion and treat with somebody else. But they say they're not going to pay for the doc, and that often, you know, is not, you know, like, you can, you know, not work around it, but deal with that situation.
So there's four pieces to it. So first of all, the list has to be proper. There has to be 6 panel providers on the list. There has to be various different types of specialties. And that's why Dr. Groesinger said, if there's not a neurologist and you need to see a neurologist, you're allowed to go off the list.
That's a default.
Like that.
And by the way, as you know, in 30 plus years of practice, I've never seen a 6-person panel that has a neurologist, just because most neurologists do about 5 to 7% of comp, and they don't view us as being integral to their scenario. So we automatically have a golden parachute from day one.
Right. And then, so assuming they get the list right, which probably, I mean, I don't have statistics, but maybe 10% of the time, the list has the proper people on it. It has to be posted in a place where it can be seen at work. And there's two acknowledgments that have to be signed. First, you have to sign a form when you're first hired, acknowledging that if you get injured, you have to go on this list. And then right after the injury, you have to sign it again. And it's so rare that you're going to get a client that has the list posted, has the doctors that are appropriate, has the acknowledgment form signed. But as Dr. Groysinger said, a lot of doctors get wary and they don't want to see the injured worker in the beginning because they're afraid they're not going to get paid.
Right. A lot of doctors, and it's not just me, there's plenty of people in my network. You know, I do one thing. I'm a quarterback, but we have a running back, wide receiver, line. I know people. Let's say it's a vascular injury. Let's say it's a blood clot in the leg. That's not something I would do. I would be able to tell Marla, Joseph, that we have a doctor, D. Giovanni, that happens to be his name, Riddle, who will see that patient and not wait.
So you have a network of associates.
I have a network of people who will see them in this scenario of a denied claim. I don't even care if they have no other insurance. In Delaware, where I work, the major orthopedic practice, even with a confirmed workers' comp claim number, they won't see anybody if they don't have defined excellent backup insurance. That's how independent they are. But it's my job to know the landscape.
And having said that, we have a couple minutes left. Doc, take it one of those minutes, if you will. Anything about the practice, clearly that you kind of haven't laid it out there. Obviously, being a neurologist, treating injured workers, treating personal injury victims, and sports injuries. We got about a minute.
Sure, I'll be real quick. I'll take about 23 seconds.
Awesome.
Uh-oh, I only have 20 left. So, in any event, we do all neurological problems, all medical orthopedic problems, like shoulder problems. I have a practice called Philadelphia PRP and Stem Cell Institute. That's 610-222-5679. And what that means is if you're out there and you have a shoulder, knee, hip, or back problem, and you were told you need surgery, you could come to see me. And just like Bryce Harper, just like a famous linebacker who I won't mention, he'll be seeing me this week for a spine injury, I can help. And a lot of people, they don't want surgery. But by replacing your own cells with platelets or with bone marrow, I can help the healing process without a recuperation, without cutting, without dangerous drugs.
All right. And, Doc, contact information at the practice?
Well, main practice, 610-521-6063. If you like email, it's phillysportsdoc.com.
Awesome. Marla Joseph, contact information?
My website's workcomppa.com. That's two P's. And the phone number is 215-884-6664. Any type of injury I can help you with or refer you out. And I want to also close by emphasizing that you should not be applying for all different kinds of benefits without first talking to a lawyer. Because when you hurt yourself at work, there's confusion about Social Security disability, unemployment. I handle those other areas so I can help to integrate the benefits. Yeah, navigate through those issues.
Absolutely. Listen, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. I want to thank Marla Joseph, workers' compensation attorney from the law offices of Marla Joseph. I want to thank Dr. Bruce Groysinger, the sports doc, Groysinger Neuro Pain, and the platelet practice.
Philadelphia PRP and Stem Cell Institute.
Awesome. I want to thank Matt Menarik for making it happen in the producer's office. And, of course, our great friend Andrew Walker for making the show happen. On behalf of everyone on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.